in the Six-Day War, it was very alarming. There were Yidden in Eretz Israel, and they were surrounded by hundreds of millions of Arabs. And when the war broke out, we were so scared and so concerned. We thought, Chas v'Shalom, what's going to happen to those Yidden? And the Rabbi Shalom made Meiridik and Meiridik and Nisim. And the air force of the Arabs were destroyed in one day. And the whole world was wondering how the small Yiddish army prevailed over the armies of the Arabs, who were 10 or 20 times more than them. And they fled. They fled, took off their shoes and they fled. And Erdik and Nisim happened. And the newspapers were full of the Nisim. Actually, Nisim happened. One account in the newspaper was that the Arabs threw a firebomb on a certain house, and there was a family, several families there. And then they couldn't get out, and they were in danger, Chas v'Shalom, of being burnt up. Then another bomb fell on the roof, and on the roof they had a tank of water. They gathered water in big tanks, and with pipes it went down, and the bomb hit the tank of water, and the water just came down and extinguished the fire. And such things happened, Kseida. And the newspapers kept on writing about the Nisim. So, in one of the newspapers, you know, they have letters to the editor in every newspaper. So in one of the newspapers, I have a letter from a certain lady in Tel Aviv who asks the editor, please stop writing about the Nisim. I have one day in the week when I have off, and that's on Shabbos. On the Shabbos I take a ride and I go to the beach. And when you write about the Nisim, it gives me a guilty conscience that I'm not keeping Shabbos. Please stop writing about the Nisim. And it was printed, this letter to the editor. That illustrates what we were talking about. People don't want to know. People bury their head in the sand like the ostrich. They don't want to have emunah. They don't want to know the truth, how the Rabbeinu Shloim created the world. They don't want to learn about it in Sefer Bereishis, because it'll hinder them in their pursuit of their taivas. In the Sefer from Rav Balach, now from the Tel Aviv Yeshiva, before the war, when the Tel Aviv Yeshiva was in Europe, so the Telz Rosh Hashiva in Telz at that time there were many Yiddish boys that, you know, the Haskalah crept in, ideas of communism and Zionism and all that, you know, nationalistic Zionism and Zionism. And there were many boys Nebuch left home. They couldn't live at home because of the conflict, because their parents were frum and they were chafshim. So they left home for comfort, and they made clubs, and they made dormitories, and they had lecturers coming, telling them more about communism or about Zionism or whatever they told them. One day, one of the boys committed suicide. I suppose he fell in love with a girl and he was disappointed, and so he cut his wrists and he bled to death, Leolaino. So, after a little while, the plaster in the clubhouse underneath started falling down. So they called the plasterer, and he replastered the roof. After a little while, the plaster again started falling down. So they called another plasterer who should do a better job and replaster the roof. The plaster again started falling down. So one of the boys who had up a little spark of emunah still flaming in himself came to the toes of Rosh Hashiva to Rabbi Lach. Rabbi Lach writes the story in his sefer. He came to Rabbi Lach and he said, "It's a very spooky thing. What is it all about? Why does the roof, the ceiling come falling down?" So the Tozer Rav, he thought that the Tozer Rav, the Rosh Hashiva, is going to tell him some Kabbalistic things and what he should do. So the Tozer Rav says, "Look, I don't delve in Kabbalah. I am Ish HaHalacha. I learn Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. And since somebody on the floor above bled to death, and the blood that after the Yitzias Neshama is Mechuyiv in Kvura, so the Shulchan Aruch says that you must take those boards which absorb the blood and bury them on the base of Kvura. It's Chayiv Kvura. There's a mitzvah of Kvura. Kavar Tikbaranu, it says. And from here the Gemara learns that the mitzvah of kvura. So you have to take those boards and bury them. So he and some chaveirim ripped out the boards which absorbed the blood, buried them on the base of kvaris. They replastered the ceiling, and the ceiling remained intact. It didn't come down anymore. So one of the boys who frequented that club stopped coming. The boys meet him in the street. "Kamarad, why didn't you come to our club?" So he says, "I'll tell you the truth. When I come to that club and I see the ceiling which fell down when the blood was absorbed in the roof above, and it stopped falling down when the boards were buried, I see that there's a higher being in this world, that there's a Rabbeinu Shleilem, there's a maker. I can't take that. I can't go and eat chazer and go to the beach and do whatever my heart wants me to do when I see these things. It's like driving a car with the brakes on. I can't. So I decided I'm stopping to come to the club so I shouldn't see any evidence of any God in the world, and that makes life easier for me." So the Tzelzer Rav wrote down this story in his sefer, which comes to show why people are apikorsim, why they don't believe in the Torah. Not chas v'sholem because they don't believe. They do believe, but they want to cover up their belief. They want to hide their belief. They want to bury it. And it shouldn't bother them, because they don't have the enough Yiras Shemayim to fight the Yetzer Hara. See, if you don't fight, you join the Yetzer Hara. So they don't want to hear anything about Yiddishkeit, about Emunah. That's human nature. The truth is, as we discussed this to a certain degree of length, that everything in the world shows you that there's Rabbeinu Shleilem, that Rabbeinu Shleilem controls. There are people that say that who knows what can happen with the world. The ecologic balance is being spoiled, and people are deforesting the forests, so there won't be enough oxygen, or that the ozone layer is going to suffer. It's all nonsense. Afti ken teiver ba'utimait. The Rabbeinu Shleilem made a world that can't go wrong. the Rabbeinu Shlalom, who made the world, controls the world, and he maintains his world. If there's a balabust in the house, the apartment is an ordnung. There's a balabust over the world. The world is an ordnung. It's the apikorsim that think that the world is destined to go to ruins because of the progress and the new inventions and the and the contaminating of the air and this and the waters. The Rabbeinu Shlalom controls the world. This happened. Rashi brings it in Parshas Lech Lecha by the Day HaFlaga. The Day HaFlaga started building up that Migdol B'Rayshei B'Shemayim. So why did they build that Migdol? So Rashi brings that they figured out how much time is between Briyas HaOlam and the Mabul, and that's how much time it was between the Mabul and their Daya. So they were afraid that the world is going to collapse, the sky is going to come down caving in. So they wanted to support the sky, and they start building a Migdol B'Rayshei B'Shemayim and build pillars to support the sky. It shouldn't cave in. They were afraid the world would become Charev. A Yid that has a moon that laughs at this. The Rabbeinu Shlalom controls the world. The world doesn't become Charev. Scientifically, we know that there is a constant balance between the components of the gases in our atmosphere. The air that we breathe in here on the level on the ground has 21% oxygen. This has been known for a long, long time, since they were able to measure the oxygen in the air, and that's how it is today. That's how it is today. On the seventh day of Kislev, Tovshin Nuntes, 21% oxygen. And it has to be that way. Our lungs are adapted to breathe air and get the oxygen from the air in sufficient quantities if it's 21%. If it would be more, we'd be in danger. Because when there's more oxygen, if anybody ever went to the hospital and you see those signs, oxygen tanks, don't smoke, don't light any fire. Whenever there's more oxygen, there's more of a danger of fire, because fire needs oxygen to burn and to flame. And let's say if there would be too much oxygen in the world and somebody would light a cigarette, the whole world can get on fire. No one would be able to put out that fire. If there would be too little oxygen, we would suffocate, chas v'shalom. We couldn't breathe. Exactly, always, at all times, our air contains 21% oxygen. There's a harmony between the oxygen and the carbon dioxide in the air. When we breathe, we inspire, we breathe in the air of the oxygen, and our lungs take out the oxygen and they send it to the bloodstream. And in turn, being that whenever there is energy and burning, carbon dioxide is formed, so the lungs take out the carbon dioxide from the blood and we exhale it and we blow it out. That carbon dioxide is what the trees and all the plants need. So all the animals, all the birds, all the people in the world breathe out carbon dioxide, and that's why we have plants. If there wouldn't be no carbon dioxide, there wouldn't be no plants. The Rabbeinu Shlalom maintains a balance in the world between everything. Everything in the world is balanced. The botany and biology, everything is balanced. You have worms in the earth that creep around in the earth, and they burrow holes and they make the earth soft beneath. so that when it rains, there's little pockets that the worms formed from burrowing those holes, that the water is maintained there, and that's good for the plants. Without these worms, we won't have any plants. And then if there's too much worms, so they'll ruin everything. So there are birds and little animals that feed upon those worms, so that there shouldn't be too many worms. And then if there would be too many birds, so there's birds of prey who eat up those birds. Everything is balanced. There's a balance between the botany and the biology. Everything is balanced. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam keeps this world going this way. In a pleiadical way, as I spoke to you about this last week, we just have to open up our eyes and see. We're going to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I told you about the cells, the coagulation of the blood. Nobody stops to think about it. He gets a little scratch on his hand. So right away, he'll form a scab. The blood will dry up, and a hard scab will form and stay there until the wound is healed. How did this scab form? There's a certain ingredient in the blood that when it gets in contact with air, it rises up the blood. So the blood seals in the wound so that a person shouldn't bleed to death. This ingredient is called hemoglobin. And there are some people who are sick and don't have enough hemoglobin. They're called I forgot the name. So these people have a very difficult life. When they get a little scratch, the blood doesn't stop. When they go to the dentist, they must tell the dentist that they're a hemophiliac. That's the word. That they don't have enough hemoglobin in their blood. But generally, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam makes healthy people, and the overwhelming majority of people are healthy in that respect. Why did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam make this hemoglobin in the blood? We should have a built-in repair system. And that can only coagulate the blood when it comes in contact with air. If Chas V'Shalom it would coagulate in the veins, then we would have thrombosis. It would a person would die immediately. Those hard pieces of blood would stuff up the arteries that go to the brain or to the heart, and he'd get either a heart attack or a stroke. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam makes it in such a nifen. Everything is with a plea. Everything has its wonderful inyanim. There's enough air in the water. We see big pleas. I want to mention this. How the Rabbeinu Shel Olam conducts the inyanim and the scientific laws of the world in the way that the world should exist in the way it's supposed to exist. Everything, every element in the world, when it warms up, it expands. It becomes larger. If you would notice by the trains, the tracks are made of long pieces of steel, and you will notice, look at the tracks, where one long lush of steel ends and another one starts, there's a space of about close to an inch between them. The engineers who put down those tracks make a space. Why do you have that space? Because metal, when it gets hot, expands. So when the train rides over the tracks become hot from the friction. So the metal starts expanding. So the metal becomes longer. And then the two stretches of track expand and they meet each other. If you wouldn't have that space, there wouldn't be any place to expand. So the tracks would bulge up in the air and be ripped out of the of where they're nailed down. So you need that space. That's how a thermometer works. When it warms up, there's a very thin tube, a hollow tube in the thermometer, and when the quicksilver warms up, it expands. So the quicksilver starts climbing up into the thermometer. So to the degree of the warmth, that's the degree how much the quicksilver would climb up. So everything expands by heat. Water also expands with heat. The colder it gets, it starts becoming smaller and smaller, and it becomes less mass. And that's why the thermometer goes down when it's cold. Everything is that way. Everything expands when it's warm and becomes smaller when it's cold, with the exception of water. Water is not that way. Water expands when it's warm and slides when it's cold until it reaches 34 degrees. Because 32 degrees is the freezing point. Water at 32 degrees freezes. So what happens? So when water starts getting colder and it reaches 34 degrees, it starts expanding again. Just the opposite. And that's why ice has more volume than water. If you would take, let's say, a jar and fill it up with water in a cold January night, screw the lid on and leave it outside or in your freezer, so overnight when you get up in the morning you're going to see that the jar burst. It busted because the ice expanded and there's no place in the jar for the ice. So it busts the glass. Today it should be able to go out and expand. Why is water a yaitzei min haklal? Why doesn't water behave like any other element that either gets larger through heat or smaller through cold? Teretz is pashut, because Rabbeinu Shlomo needs this for his world. Because let's say you have a river and it's a cold day, and the river is covered over with ice. Being that the ice expands, so cubic foot of ice has less water in it than the cubic inch of water. Because water is a mass, it's concentrated, and ice is expanded. So a cubic inch of ice is lighter than the cubic inch of water. So the ice always floats on the water. So the ice remains on the river. But what would have happened if the ice would not expand and it would behave like any other element and adrabe becomes smaller through the cold, then the ice would become heavier than the water. So the ice would sink to the bottom of the river and it would kill all the fish. And all the shrubbery which grows on the bottom of the river, we wouldn't have any fish, or in the ocean, or whatever. So the Rebbe Shlomo made that the ice should behave differently. It should be on top, and underneath it's warm, above freezing, so the fish and the plants could exist under the water. Everything has its reasons. We do see Meiledik Echidushim in the Torah, and by Yidden, natural behavior different than by the Goyim. Just like ice is different than other elements, there's a certain pattern of behavior which is specific for ice alone. There's a certain pattern of behavior that we see only by Yidden, and this is one of the great plies of the world, and we're going to talk about it in Mies Hashem next week.